is John.
My name is Arvin.
And this is Behind the Scenes
of Our Best Days.
Season
7.
Wow, we're already on season 7.
Yeah.
I'm going to act surprised.
Every time.
Every time. Even when we are on season 23.
Jordan year.
Do you guys know who Jordan is? Anyways, he's a basketball player.
They go Michael B. Jordan?
Michael B. Jordan. Anyways, we have our things because we are actually going to be going
Grab a coffee.
Yeah, let's go grab a coffee.
Grab a coffee.
I also need to stop by Trader Joe's.
We'll do that.
But this is all about the behind the scenes of victory. Ready? Okay, can you speed this up in post? All right. So today is a great day. It is currently, we are recording this episode in my vehicular on a Wednesday. It is towards the end of February, and Easter teaser actually drops this weekend.
It's very exciting. We just saw it last night.
When you guys hear or see this,
by the time you hear this, the Easter teaser and trailer are out.
Yes.
Yes.
And so we're really excited about it. The Easter title this year is
Proof.
Proof.
Beautiful. Yeah.
And the scripture that we are taking it from is
in the book of Mark, where and it's in Matthew, I believe, where the gentleman. Jesus comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and there's a guy whose son is demon-possessed, and he says, if you want to heal him, you can. He goes, of course I want to. Do you believe that I can? And the guy goes, I do believe, but help my unbelief. So that's the
womb.
Theme. Yeah.
Right there. I just said womb.
Mm-hmm.
I meant to say
the
boom.
Womb.
No, no, no. It's giving birth to something that God is doing in your life. No, but honestly, womb. But that scripture.
Yeah.
But help my unbelief. I believe every person has a part of themselves that has an unbelief. They go, I believe.
Yeah.
But there is part of me that doesn't believe.
Yeah.
And so based on that percentage, based on the miracle or whatever
Beautiful.
You're believing for,
even
people in ministry, behind the scenes, that is what they have.
Yeah.
But anyways, this podcast is Behind the Scenes of Our Best Days, in which we talk about the behind the scenes of the ministry of victory. And something interesting came up. Yesterday, we were basically talking about a ministry that we started at Victory that is almost like it was a fever dream.
Yeah.
And
was that, this is before 24/7?
So 24/7 was our youth group. That's, I was the
I showed
pastor.
Up to that back in the day.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember
yes,
being
yes,
there.
Yes. Yeah. And so then this term just came up yesterday. It was, what is an archived post? An archived post, I'm jumping around, but you guys can follow. An archived post is something that you posted and you completely believed in it and you meant it. Maybe you were pushing for a certain president or a politician, or maybe it was a certain trend that you were like, oh, I love planking. And or you posted something that you really believed in, and then now at this season in your life, you look back and you go, yeah, I don't align with that anymore.
No, absolutely.
And you archive that post.
Absolutely.
Every person in their life has archived posts.
Yeah.
Even ministries do.
Yeah.
Maybe it is a certain friendship, a certain relationship, certain people in your life could
totally.
Be an archived post.
Yeah.
Well, in this coincidence, not coincidence, in this instance, the cool word when we started this junior high youth ministry on Sunday mornings was this word called epic.
Epic.
Anyone who still uses epic.
There was a time, I guess, in the late 90s, that was the phrase, that was the word.
Yeah, or like early 2000, I don't know.
John Eldridge had a book called Epic.
Oh, he sure did.
Sometimes they called big stories, they would say the epic of, like the epic of Gilgamesh.
Oh, that's true.
I think that's where
it came
from.
But if someone says something like, oh my goodness, this is epic. And we go, this is like a picnic in the park.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we called this junior high youth group Epic, junior high youth. And we really tried to go all out and make it like a big production thing. We had individual junior high youth video announcements.
Yeah.
And we had shirts and we did wars and we did intros that you would do for a conference, like a countdown and we rented these lights. Now here's the thing.
Yeah.
It's on Sunday morning at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
And the kids that show up to Epic Youth Ministry.
Honestly, I didn't know that part.
No.
Sunday at 9.
Sunday morning, 9 a.m.
That's too early.
No one cares
for
about a womp, 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 womp. Like, a techno beat countdown.
Oh, wow.
With a light show.
Beautiful.
And then, like, womp, 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 womp. Welcome to Epic Junior High Youth Ministry. And there was 25 kids there.
Incredible.
We would do an 11 a.m.
Yeah.
And that was a little bit more lively.
Sure.
But we would literally set up, and we had skits, and we put so much effort into it. Now, I believe that that effort was totally for those kids, and hopefully they forever remember it.
Yeah.
But it was like, can we keep this up every single week?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
After a few months, we were like, okay, what can we do every week and make it more of like a worship, a church service, and then like break into connect groups?
Yeah.
A more feasible thing to do on Sunday mornings, because we couldn't get like a juggler who would light himself on fire every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. And the kids that were there watching it, they were just kind of like half asleep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And you're just like, okay, this is not Epic, but we didn't change the name. And so for 3 years, it would be like, hey, welcome to Epic Youth Ministry. And then there would be new families that would come.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, is this Epic? And they would look around and people would be throwing paper airplanes.
And you're like, yeah, this is it.
And all of the fluorescent lights are on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we're playing like Cademan's Call or Stephen Curtis Chapman. And we're like, yeah, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, that is an archived post.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are some more archived posts that are like happen maybe within ministry of you growing up or whatever?
I think about, you mentioned like people you know, and, but I think that's incomplete. I think that the thing that you archive is the version of yourself that you were. And you want to, like, every time you come up with a new idea of like, this is who I am, this is who I want to be, you archive all the other ones. You don't want anyone to know about what you used to, you know, until you get old enough or mature enough, it probably isn't a matter of age where you're like, I should unarchive those versions and just figure out what was valuable about them. Because even I remember like younger versions of me that what they were doing was cringy.
Right.
You know, like lip preaching, a car just ran a red light. Lip preaching, John, we're actually in a car. This isn't like a
how people would lip sing songs.
I would lip preach John Bevere's messages.
You would and lip
I would sermons. Memorize them. I'd memorize them, and I'd walk around in my bedroom, and I would play the sermon, and I would dress up like him, and then I would. So that's cringy. That's extremely cringy. But if I unarchive that and I look, I go, what is it about that 14, 16 year old kid that wanted to do that? Of course it was. I say that now at 30. Of course that kid felt like the boldness he saw in how John Bevere spoke, the like confidence.
I like that. Yeah.
That's what that kid wanted.
Yes.
So when I think about archived posts, I don't have social media. I know what they are. I remember doing that back in the day. But when you archive and unarchive versions of yourself from before, it is fun to unarchive them and look at them.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And it, yeah. Another thing that we did was we did a Victory Downtown campus.
That's right.
We did a Victory Downtown campus.
I remember that, yeah.
And in the thought, it was, let's reach the downtown community, bars, clubs, you know. And it was awesome. And I will say this, every archived post that you have in your life, and of course we're using this as not a literal archived post.
No, sure.
But like something that you just don't want people to identify you with anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All of those things serve a purpose in the makeup of who you are.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
The hidden things and the not hidden things. And one thing that I've realized is you are not the picture that you post. You are the picture that you're tagged in.
Because
sometimes people... Do you know what I'm talking about? If someone takes a group photo, they always look at themselves and they go, I look good. And they post it. And you like were cross-eyed, eyes closed.
Yeah.
You're picking your nose
or
whatever. Or you're not looking at the camera. I'm like, that's really who we all are.
Yeah,
it's the picture.
Those candid moments.
It's that.
Yeah.
And so anyways, but all of that to say that they all serve a moment. And I think that what's great is whether you work in a ministry or you work in a business is that you can chew the meat and spit out the bone. You can revisit those archived things.
Yeah,
and you can go, okay, but let's look at the pureness of it. And
yeah, what was the intention? Because the intention stays the same. Ira Glass, if you're familiar with Ira Glass, he started This American Life.
Yes.
He's like a producer or whatever. He always talks about, he has this very famous speech he gave where he talks about, you start out with intention.
Yes.
Of, I want this to be cool, I want to be great, I want to be impressive, whatever, whatever. But you have no taste. And unfortunately, right now, if I take a look at the landscape of creative people, it's almost like it's impossible to admit, I have no taste. I'm starting out at whatever age, and I don't know what's good. I just know what's good because of what other people tell me is good. And so they lack taste. So Ira talks about how you can have great intention of wanting to make something cool, but cool is subjective, and it's arbitrary, and it really comes down to, like, there are certain things that would have been cool to the youth in Germany in the early 1900s that are now absolutely illegal because of how, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there was awful, awful things that it's very subjective. And what I think is better is if it's intentional and it's authentic to, like, what is objectively of good taste, like timeless, good stuff. So he talks about how over the course of time...
Yeah, give an example.
Repetition, if you continue to do these things, and they have... You know, I did a music video for a guy prior to working at Victory.
Yes.
I did a music video for this unknown artist in Oklahoma City, and he went by Mars. And he's a worship leader in Oklahoma City, and he goes, hey, I saw this other video you did. I did a video for Brian Nira, and... He goes, can you come do one for me? But I can, you know, this is what we can afford to pay. So it was like, there's not a crew. There's not a bunch of other people.
It was you.
It's me. I'm the guy doing the whole, I conceptualized the video. I took the song. And so I took, like, lamps from my parents' house.
Okay.
And I put them in the back of my Honda Civic. And I drove to Norman, Oklahoma.
Okay.
And we just took a warehouse and we filmed this video. And I had this deep idea, this concept, whatever. To this day, if I put that out now, I would probably do it differently. But I had to do that because what I found out, the before and after of that whole time was, am I capable of doing this? I rented a camera. I didn't even have a camera. I'd never used one before. I just asked the person I rented it from, like, how do I turn it on? How do I press record? And then where does this... is this a SIM card? And she's like, it's an SD card. Like, all the stuff that I didn't know anything.
You're like, okay.
I didn't know anything.
That's an SD card.
So I show up and I do all this stuff. And the video's not that good. Like, it was the best I could do in 2016, 17.
Yes.
But what it demonstrated was a willingness to suck at something because I have intention.
Oh, okay.
And that's
the
what people lack
now.
The
willingness to suck at something because people don't want to suck anymore.
That's why people will archive a post or archive a person or archive a season.
Because they don't want to be embarrassing.
It's
guys,
cringy.
Can we just say to all of our listeners, we just drove through a tunnel. To all of our listeners, viewers, whatever, stop taking yourself so seriously. Like, yeah. That was all I had.
That's great.
I was going to say something more serious.
That's
but
fine.
That was
That's
all I got.
No, I think what should happen, though, is that you stop feeling the need to archive things. Because let me break it down.
Say it.
The reason you archive is so you present a specific version of yourself that has good taste and good intention and whatever. And it's like, that's great. And you want people to see that and think highly of you. And then they admire you. But the reality is, people can only admire people that are impressive for so long. The people that they'll respect are the ones who don't feel the need to archive anything anymore.
Oh,
so you go, hey, let me demonstrate.
Little switch up.
Let me demonstrate to you the, like, just the process I was in. And yeah, this was cringy. And yeah, this was weird. This is the nerdy version of me. You're speaking to a more broad group of people because if everyone's afraid of their cringy self being caught and pointed out, and look at how embarrassing that was, and then you can relieve everybody of that fear if you make peace with, like, no, that's exactly how everyone starts.
Yeah.
No one has taste up front. Like, when Ira said that, I felt permission to suck at something. And it was like, really I'm going to go make 250 terrible videos. And someday,
you're
one of them
your
will
inner
be good.
Gary Vee come out.
Yeah, no, for sure. Absolutely. I'm going to do something terrible. And what sucks is people are not willing to do that. So they get a job at a church and they go, I have to have perfect taste and intention and I have to be showcased. So you fake it. You go on Instagram and you make yourself look like you're more talented and gifted than you really are. And then it's a game of deception for the rest of your... And that's not just Instagram. That's like people will choose to live that way from now on.
So people would rather have archive posts. Now, again, we're not talking about just on Instagram or whatever. It's really like the whole thought behind don't let anyone see your weaknesses or where you fall short.
Sure, yeah.
Or things that make you human.
Yeah, yeah.
That make you
anything
like, okay,
unimpressive, normal.
Anything unimpressive.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Okay.
But that big one, that's cringier to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did a so going back, we did this Victory Downtown campus.
Remember that, yeah.
Arvin started running slides at the Victory Downtown campus.
Yes.
And that's where we actually reconnected and
yeah.
It was like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so it definitely served a purpose. While I was at the Victory Downtown campus, I was like, oh, in my mind, I was like, what would be so fun downtown is to do a Water Wars night. And
okay.
I was like, do you remember this?
I actually don't think I was here.
Okay.
For that.
So I was like, I want to get the Tulsa Fire Department to spray water up. It was so hot in Tulsa. I'm going to get the Tulsa Fire Department to spray the water up.
Incredible.
And it's going to like basically make it rain.
Yeah.
And by our venue out in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And we're going to get super soakers and water balloons.
Yeah.
In my mind, I just think, oh, young adults will think it's cool.
Sure.
I am thinking like a youth pastor.
Right.
And so I'm like, oh, yeah. And so I tell everyone, I was like, hey, we really got to push it on social media for everyone to, you know, bring stuff to,
mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
know, dress in and
mm-hmm.
Like, it's okay to get wet. And first off, the sermon was get wet. Guys, you actually can't say that. And if you don't know why, that's great. You have a very pure heart and mind. For everyone else who's fallen short on the glory of God.
Was there a scripture?
I was talking about being baptized seven times. Who got healed.
Yeah. Go dip in the water
Go dip in the Jordan seven times.
Yeah.
That was the whole sermon.
Is it Naaman? Someone in the
Naaman.
Bible.
Naaman.
Yeah.
And I was just like, hey, we're going to do a...
Oh,
and, but here's the thing. The people who came to the downtown campus...
Yeah.
There were actually people who lived downtown that came to the campus... That did not grow up in church.
Yeah, even
and
better.
And they were
even
so
better.
Confused.
Even better, yeah.
And then I was like, we're going to go outside and get soaked. And then no one went out. I was out there in my swimming suit.
Yeah.
There was 120 people. And I was like, okay, we do need something for the people
Yikes.
Who are not wanting to participate in the water
yeah.
wars.
Yeah.
And we had, like, baptismal tanks that I had set up.
Whew.
With water balloons. I'd
yeah.
worked hard all day about getting people to have, like, water balloons, water guns.
Yeah.
And most people sat there with a snow cone and watched me
uh-huh.
and Yvonne Karamoko.
Beautiful. God bless
go at each other.
Yeah.
And there was 120 people watching three people play in the water. The fire department came up.
Oh, wow.
The fire department rolled up and they go... Are we supposed to spray people down? And I go, yeah, go for it. And I was like, turn up the music.
It was
and
epic.
It was epic. And we turned up music. I forgot what it was. I
yeah.
think it was Flo Rida.
Praise
and
God. It's going down for real.
Yeah. The whole time.
Oh, boy.
It was welcome to my house. We can't control now.
Yeah. It
was so bad that everyone stood there, watched. Everyone was watching me.
Yeah, and you're
and
going
I was like,
for
come
it.
On, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. I then realized I am old.
Mm-hmm.
I am the cool mom
yeah.
from Mean Girls.
Nice.
The one's like, I'm a cool mom.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
the one who's trying to
yeah.
force this
yeah.
delusion.
Yeah.
This
beautiful.
Delusion.
Aww.
And... I had just finished preaching.
Yeah.
We did an altar, and I was like, everybody outside, everyone get changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one got changed. People just watched. I think I started spraying people to get them involved,
and they didn't
got upset.
Yeah, of course.
And they left.
They liked their outfit too much.
And I was
man.
Okay. Afterwards, the other people who were around, they were like, well, that was interesting.
It was an honest attempt.
Anytime someone says that was interesting,
yeah,
you know you failed.
Yeah.
You know you're like, this is going to be an archived post.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, whether it's an outfit
what
or
do you,
it's an attempt.
What would you salvage from that time?
Okay.
The intention
good
you
question.
Had?
The intention was I wanted to do something outside of church to get these people. But all of the people had their cool card.
Right.
And I was like, okay. Yeah. I think there ended up being 5 or 6 people, but out of 120 or 180 people, and there was 5 or 6 people that enjoyed it, Cody Applegate's wife actually got involved.
Nice.
Her name is Samantha.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, you know, running around barefoot. I think she stepped on glass.
Yikes.
Which
she
is
bought
on,
in.
Which is on brand.
Yeah.
But like doing something fun and then Samantha getting hurt is just something that has happened. But anyways.
We got to put a stop to this.
Am I right, Cody? Yeah, yes. Like something in the middle of something happening that's fun and then Samantha accidentally gets hurt. I'm like, why has this happened multiple times? Anyways. So I forgot where I was going with that story, except for the fact
the cringe nature of that time.
The cringe nature of it. And then looking back and being like, well, we definitely made attempts.
Yeah.
And it's part of, you know, what Victory Downtown was. And that actually ushered in what is currently Victory Young Adults.
That's great. Yeah.
Which now, Victory Young Adult Youth, not youth, Victory Young Adult Ministry, ran by Pastor Josh and his wife, Mrs. Com. It's going great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it's just the idea behind of being okay with being goofy.
I think you have to, make peace with it, because that's what gives people permission to do the same thing.
Yes.
Is, hey, it's okay. We all want to be cool. We want to matter. We want to be cool and trendy. We want to,
do something.
There's nothing more cringy than when you can see someone trying, as opposed to just earnest self-acceptance. This is me. And that's actually very cool.
Really?
Yeah. I wish people knew that. At least, I guess I would say so. There are a number of people I know whose long-term game they're playing is convincing people they are cooler than they actually are.
What a boring life.
Yeah, I wish they knew that.
Oh, here's our...
Hi there. Hi. Thank you so much.
We'll be right back.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you. All right. So, good guy.
Yeah.
Okay, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is after Jesus feeds the 5,000, and then he goes, let's go to the other side. And they gathered up all of the scraps.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Yeah, yeah.
They gathered up all of the scraps because there was uneaten things, and it said that they gathered about 12 baskets full.
That's right.
Of scraps.
Mm.
Why did they gather it? When they started going across the lake, the Sea of Galilee, and then the storm happened. Basically, they had the scraps right there after this big miracle thing happened.
Yeah.
And he was basically wanting them, in my mind.
Yeah.
He did not say this.
Sure.
But in my mind, if I'm a disciple and I'm freaking out about the winds and the waves.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden I look and I see these 12 basketfuls.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, he already did a miracle. Why am I afraid of the storm?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, so all of those broken pieces, none of it was wasted.
Beautiful.
They actually have it on the shore at the very end.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, all of the broken pieces, and that you may say, okay, I did not follow that Bible example.
Sure.
It's okay. Bottom line is that they gathered up the broken pieces.
Yeah.
Because in our life, nothing is wasted. Even the broken pieces that are gathered up from archived posts, from things that we think are cringy, from things in our behind the scenes.
Yes,
everyone
absolutely.
Has a behind the scenes. That's what this whole podcast is about.
Yeah.
I think about we did this Easter production, and in my mind, I wanted to represent evil. So I'm like, I want to build a massive snake. And I was inspired by a massive snake that was either on a Katy Perry concert or Taylor Swift.
Okay, I don't remember.
Anyways, some of your viewers, you guys know what I'm talking about. But there was this massive snake, and I was like, oh, we need to build a massive snake head. Now, obviously, we don't have Taylor Swift, Katy Perry budget energy. So
Not yet.
So we are like, okay, let's make this, and it's going to be, it's going to rise up in this one moment in this song. We had these incredible women spend 2 weeks building this massive snake head. And then it did not look the way we wanted it to look.
Yeah.
And we, it is the night before the production, and we're using it in the run-throughs. And Pastor Paul is like, guys, this is so distracting. It is so massive. And the snake tooth, one tooth was over here. One tooth was in front like a buck. Kind of like Bucky's gas station. And then one eye was up here. One eye was over here. It was...
It didn't work.
Yes. It did not work. And I was upset that we had to pull it. But I had to, like, obviously let go of the... I had to go and tell these ladies who spent so much time on it. I was like, this snake actually does look massive. And there's parts of it that look really cool. We cannot use it. And these people volunteered their time. And I know that forever that moment is going to just live in their minds. But I'm like, man. Like, what did I gather from it? From it, I... Number one, my respect and love for those people and these volunteers went to a new level. I thought, I'm never going to ask someone to do something again that I don't have a clear picture of it on the other side. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was one thing that I took from it, which may not have been super helpful for them. But on their end, they were like, we will never do something for John unless he has a clear picture of it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think so, about the video I did. I came away from it.
The music video.
Exactly. I referred to it earlier, moments ago. I came away from it with the confidence that, like, I can just start, think of something, create, figure out how to shoot, put together, edit, and put it out. And years later, this past summer, we did the exact same thing as before, which was we went to Seattle. We brought 22 people to Seattle. We filmed the center over the course of 1 to 2 weeks. And, you know, obviously the taste increased, but the intention was the same as before. And
the
intention was the same before, but the taste increased. That's right.
Wait, that's really good. The intention was the same before, but the taste increased. Some of you guys, that was your word. Anyways, continue.
So the whole idea there is when you, if you get to a place where you finally have permission to be yourself, then you don't want to archive anymore. You actually want to. I show people that video now, and I go, "This is how I started it." And you can see the editing is poor and the timing is off and these people were willing to show up for pizza to do a video. And I'm proud of it now because I'm like, that kid, that 20-something-year-old kid, was willing to vulnerably, like when it came out, people made fun of me, people whatever. But then the center won best film at a festival a couple months ago. So it's like, You have to survive that time period, and when you do, I don't know a single person who's gone through that, who's arrived at something they're proud of, without then looking back at all the stuff that they had archived before and gone, no, I'm really proud of that. I'm proud of when I was cringy. I'm proud of when I sucked at that. I'm proud of when people made fun of me.
And you're proud that people saw it. Because sometimes people do cringy things and they're like, oh my goodness, I'm so glad no one noticed. But you did it and people saw it.
That was the idea.
It's out there.
It's still there. And I still love it. I know how bad it is, and I still love it. I love it probably... I mean, the other video I did has, like, 5 million plus views between all the platforms, like the Brian Nira video.
Yeah.
It's got 2 million on YouTube because and 3 you or 4 on Facebook. Because you did that music
video, and then he went on American Idol, right?
It was after.
Oh, it was
but
after.
But he's got this incredible career, and it's doing awesome and whatever, and I still love that video, but... I was a piece of that, and the other one, I was the whole thing, and I'm not saying it was better for me because I was but the pressure was increased. Ooh. There was less pressure on the Brian video because it was like there's all these other people here to shoot it. There's lighting. There's this. There's that. And the other video, it was like, okay, Arvin, you are the artist is here to sing it on camera. Right.
Okay,
that's it. You're everything else. You're catering. You're this. And now today, it doesn't. It's not lost on me that for these shows, for these films, I'm doing catering. I'm doing casting. I'm doing writing. I'm doing everything. But it doesn't bother me. It doesn't stress me out.
It added more to your utility.
No amount of pressure from any of these fall films or Easter Christmas shows amounts to the pressure I felt in Oklahoma City that one time. And so that's why it wasn't wasted. It was really, really, really useful for me.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime, just the load-bearing weight, I think pressure is a great word. And that's we're going to do another podcast on how pressure is a privilege.
That's good.
Pressure is a privilege because so many people want to make sure that things are does not fall on them.
Right.
That they want to save their neck. At the end of the day, it is so healthy for you to where you say, the buck stops with me, and if this thing fails miserably, it's also on me. And everyone will know there is something truly special about it.
I agree.
It is terrifying, and it is growing, and it's the best thing for you. In closing, what I wanted to just circle back on is creatively, unarchive your posts.
Yeah.
When I say that, we're not talking literally, but figuratively. So looking back on... even when your intentions were right, the taste is getting better.
Yeah.
That's such a good point.
That's good.
And then when you look at archived posts when it comes to relationships and friendships or maybe work opportunities, you know, even on that side, there was something so necessary about those friendships and relationships that you go, wow, I want to pretend like those never existed. There was something necessary in it that drew something out of
you. That's right. Absolutely.
Anyways, thank you so much for listening and being a part behind the scenes
of our best days.
We love you.
See you later.
Bye.